Virgil Crook, Sunday AM, September 19th, 2010.
This morning I want to continue along the same line as last Sunday. Seven joys of the believer, and we aren't going to get to all seven. Sorry. We touched on two last Sunday and might do two more today. I'll give the list again. If you're interested, you can write it down and the Lord can give you a message about the unspeakable joy that we experience because we belong to God. The first one was the joy of forgiveness, and then the joy of fellowship. Those two we touched on last Sunday. The third one is the joy of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the joy of faithful service, the joy of feasting on the Word of God. The sixth one is the joy of trials. And the last, the joy of fruitfulness. Again, I want to emphasize that this is not an exhaustive list of all the joys that you and I can experience as children of God right now in this life. And the greater joy, of course, is on the other side. This is just a list of seven. Last week, we concentrated on the joy of forgiveness and the joy of fellowship. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss, the blood washed. No. Oh, the peace akin to heaven where the healing waters flow. There is a fountain open and it's flowing. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Just to know that we have been forgiven. Now, I presume that you knew that last Sunday. Do you still know it this Sunday? That hasn't changed, has it? The same joy that filled you last Sunday, knowing that you were forgiven, is still there. It hasn't gone away. And having been forgiven, we now have the great privilege of having sweet fellowship with the Father and with His Son Jesus and with one another. Last week, it totally slipped my mind that the place where we are and where we always come is called Abundant Grace Fellowship. That didn't enter my mind when I was preparing this. Sister Wanda's looking at me like, well, you should have. And she's right. But it didn't, seriously. The whole time I was preparing this sermon, not once did I think this place is called Abundant Grace Fellowship. I don't know how you came to that title, but I take that to mean that we fellowship on the basis of God's abundant grace. That is the theme. That is the basis. That is the foundation of our fellowship. Not our good looks. We'd have a pretty limited fellowship there. And not on any other criteria, but on the truth of God's grace. Before going on to the next point, let's look briefly, and it will be brief. I can be brief. At the negative side of fellowship, that is what we should not fellowship. And let's turn just one verse in Ephesians 5:12. We could go into a lot of detail along this line, but simply one verse I want to mention before going on, which we didn't get to last Sunday. Ephesians 5 and verse 11. This is sort of a general, all-embracing statement. And like I say, we could magnify it, amplify it, and include a lot of things that it does cover. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. We dwelt last Sunday on what we have fellowship about, or what our basis of fellowship is. And this one statement is something we should consider at all times. Have nothing to do with unfruitful works of darkness. I'm going to read this in several different translations. Today's English version says, have nothing to do with the worthless things that people do. Have nothing to do with the worthless things that people do. Today's Living Bible says, take no part in the worthless pleasures of evil and darkness. Wymas has this, have nothing to do with the barren, unfruitful deeds of darkness. And another paraphrase says, don't waste your time on useless work, mere busybody, the barren pursuits of darkness. All of these different versions bring out pretty much the same thought. It is worthless, it's useless, it certainly is of no spiritual and eternal value. Don't have fellowship, don't align yourself with things, people, or activity which do not produce what God wants us to produce. And that is that we might exhibit and show forth the life of Christ. Remember that fellowship does not depend on friendship, kinship, personalities, similarities, likes and dislikes, nor relationships. It depends, as we saw last Sunday, on walking in the light. And that's the fellowship that we have is not something that we work to have. I'm going to read another verse that's going to seem to contradict that, but it doesn't. It's just a fellowship that we have. If I walk in the light, if you walk in the light, if we embrace the same truth, we're going to have fellowship. We don't have to sign some paper and make some, you know, have a swearing-in ceremony and so on and make promises to one another. We're not promise keepers. There's one promise keeper, by the way, and that's God. God's the promise keeper. Well, we won't go into that. Anyway, it depends on walking in the light. May the Lord help us as an assembly, as a group of people that have come together in this place to live up to the name by which this congregation is known. When it did finally come to me, what we call ourselves, that was a thought that came to me. May the Lord help us to live in such a way and to act in such a way that we do have a true fellowship of those who embrace the wonderful truth of God's grace. May we truly be in fellowship one with another in and through the power of the abundant grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And may we heed Paul's words to the Ephesians in chapter 4 and verse 3. Excuse me, verse 3. I'm just going to read this quickly and then pass on to our next theme. But may the Holy Spirit impress these words upon us. Remember, we don't have to work up a fellowship. It's there. But there is something that we do have to do. Be eager. I'm reading this in the Amplified Version. Be eager and strive earnestly to guard and keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. We don't have to work it up. We don't have to form a committee to get it going. But yes, by God's grace, we do need to keep the harmony and oneness of and produced by the Spirit in the binding power of peace. We'll go on to the next subject and we'll turn to Psalm 133. We read this last Sunday. It was our last verse. But it ties in with the next point, which is the joy of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. What joy to know that you are forgiven. What joy to accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and to know that He is there to stay. And what joy it is to have fellowship with others who have had that same experience. Because we are forgiven, we have fellowship with the Father, with the Son, and with one another. That fellowship that we have, that joy of salvation which we possess, is enhanced and sweetened by the joy of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Yes, that joy is there. The joy of salvation is there. And we experience it day by day. But as we accept the fullness of the Holy Spirit, That joy is magnified. It's intensified, if you will. Let's read again Psalm 133. Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head, running down upon the beard of Aaron running down on the edge of his garments. It's like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion. For there, what happened there? There the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. You have life. If you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have life. You have life evermore. But the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to control and guide our lives, is what gives us the ability to appreciate that life in its abundant form. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Let's turn to Acts 15, or 13, verse 52. The part of the verse that we just read that we want to emphasize is verse 2. Last Sunday we looked at verse 1 especially. It's good. It's pleasant. It's joyful. It brings joy for brethren to dwell together in unity. And it is so much easier. It is so much easier for brethren to dwell in unity and in harmony if all of those brethren, and sistern too, don't see the word sistern too long, it's always brethren. But whenever we say brethren, don't be offended, sisters. You're included, okay? You're part of the brethren. And the easiest way to do that is for each one of us to yield to the Holy Spirit. If I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit in the way that I act, what I say, what I do, my motives, and you are doing the same, there's going to be fellowship there. You just can't, it won't work any other way. That's what's going to happen. And so many times what happens when there isn't that unity, that harmony, is that somebody, and don't ever point a finger because you got three coming back. So I'm not going to point any fingers at anybody, but somebody is not yielding to the Holy Spirit. Acts 13, verse 52. This is just a verse kind of picked out of the book of Acts. We could multiply verses. We could repeat many verses that will tell us the exact same thing that we see right here in Acts 13, verse 53. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. And as you read the references and study, especially in the book of Acts, in spite of all of the persecution, in spite of all of the difficulties that they had as a group, you find that there is always joy present. How in the world is that? They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. We began last Sunday in Nehemiah, where Nehemiah tells us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Jesus told his disciples that they would receive power with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is both power and joy. It is both power, or he is both power and joy. He is the Spirit of power and he is the Spirit of joy. Weiss translates the verse we just read this way. And the disciples were continually filled with joy and controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's pretty tough to be able to say, honestly, I'm continually filled with joy. I consider myself to be a joyous person. But I can't say I'm continually filled with joy. You ask my wife. she's your informant if you know anything about me. But that's what the Bible says. They were continually filled with joy. Why? Because they were controlled by the Holy Spirit. They were controlled by the Holy Spirit. Being controlled by the Holy Spirit caused them to be filled with joy. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He fills us with joy even in the most unpleasant circumstances. He causes us to rejoice even in times of sadness and sorrow. You've had that experience, I'm sure. As Paul wrote to the Corinthians, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That's, what is it, the term we use? That's an oxymoron. How can that be? Sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, because we're full of the Spirit of joy. Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians 1:6. There's proof of this truth in the lives of the Thessalonians, as we'll read here in verse 6 of chapter 1. The Thessalonians were among the poorest of the saints in Paul's time. They didn't have much to rejoice about as far as natural circumstances were concerned. They were all at or below the poverty level. If they'd have had a poverty level. Somebody told me one time I never say that word right. There's a lot of words I don't say right. So anyway, poverty level. They were all at it or below it. So they didn't have much to rejoice about. And not only that, but they also experienced much affliction, as this verse says. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became followers of us, and of the Lord, having received the word in what? In much affliction. In much affliction. The only affliction that you might be experiencing this morning, other than whatever pain you might have in your body, but I mean outward persecution. Maybe it's too cool, or it's too hot, or maybe the thing's too loud. The seats are not uncomfortable. Don't tell me that. So you can't use that one. But they received the word in much affliction. I take that to mean that it was a little bit difficult for them even to get to church or to wherever it was that they gathered together. They were persecuted in their homes. They were persecuted in their yard. They were persecuted on the road. They were persecuted when they got to church. They suffered affliction. But notice what it says, with the joy of the Holy Spirit. With the joy of the Holy Spirit. And the joy of the Holy Spirit is what gave them power to overcome all of those afflictions, all of those difficulties, all of that they went through. The word affliction here comes from a basic or a root word that means to be in a rut. To be in a rut. Then it means to crowd, and the thought here is of pressure. The Greek English lexicon says trouble that inflicts distress, oppression, affliction, and tribulation. And if you're going back to the root word, it's in a rut. In a rut. Not that they had one little old affliction, but they were in a rut. That's what their life was all about. Affliction. And yet, they experienced the joy of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is a buffer against the unpleasant experiences of life, which for the child of God are many, right? Nobody's going to disagree with that. Sometimes I say things that I know you're going to agree with, and that's one of them. Your afflictions are not few. I don't care who you are this morning. I don't know your situation, but I know because you're a child of God. I know because you love the truth. And I know because you want to do the Lord's will that your afflictions are many. But aren't you glad that you have the presence of the Holy Spirit? And He acts like a buffer. He is the comforter that has come. He's like a buffer in our life. They who desire to live godly, Paul says they will suffer. They will have trouble that inflicts distress, oppression, affliction, and tribulation. And we could add a whole lot more words. Let's turn to Romans 14, verse 17. The joy of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I have seen many people receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And I have yet to see anybody that was the least bit sad. Have you ever seen anybody that's full of the Holy Spirit and that has received the Holy Spirit, that's walking in the Spirit? So I don't know. I sure feel bad. I accepted the Holy Spirit. I just really am sad about it. No. He's the Spirit of joy. And in the natural, don't you like to be around somebody that's sort of joyful and sort of jovial, at least? You know, it's no fun to be around people that are long-faced and sour-faced and look on the bad side all the time. That's no fun. But what a joy it is to be in the presence of someone who is full of joy. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. We're talking here about God's kingdom, and you and I are part of God's kingdom. And the joy of the fullness of the Holy Spirit is one of the outstanding characteristics of the kingdom of God. That is the one thing that should characterize us, those of us that have received the Holy Spirit, as individuals and as a group. People come into this building that we call Abundant Grace Fellowship, and they come in and they see us all sitting. No. That's not what we're about. That's not what we're about. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That strength is enhanced and sweetened by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. How many times have you had the experience of being sad, of being perhaps weary, of having some experience in your life that it's just a bad experience? And yet, as you meditate on the Word and yield yourself to the Lord, a joy seems to come over you. From where? The Holy Spirit who dwells within. And instead of sadness, instead of sorrow, instead of the gloomy cloud of doubt, the joy of the Lord fills your soul. In Galatians 5:22, we find that it is one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5, verse 22, is one of the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. This is the joy that abides. This is the joy that sticks with you. It's not a passing, spine-tingling sensation that makes you feel good and then you're gone, and then it's gone. But it is a joy that abides. Romans 15, verse 13. Paul's desire for the Roman saints as he writes to them is this, Romans 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of all hope, the God of all hope, fill you with what? With joy and peace in believing. Why? That you may abound in the hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that quickens the Word of God. How many times have we just kind of read through the Word or heard the Word expounded? And, you know, it's kind of good. Sort of like a piece of bread. But the Holy Spirit quickens that Word to us. The Holy Spirit seems to ignite that Word. And it's not just a piece of bread. It's a whole sandwich with mayonnaise and pickles and whatever else you want. It's something that fills your heart because the Holy Spirit anoints that Word. The Word of God anointed by the power of the Spirit will give you joy. I don't care how sad you are. I don't care how dire your circumstance is. When the Holy Spirit anoints the Word of God to your heart. And we'll come to that a little later on, so I won't go any farther there. But notice here the involvement of the Holy Spirit and filling our being with joy. It's not something you can work up. We sing that one of the songs, the choir song, Happiness is the Lord. You were looking. What'd we look like? Happiness is a new creation. Hallelujah. I hope we were saying happy. You can't smile real big and sing, but still, you know. Happiness is the Lord. Amen. Real joy is mine. No matter if teardrops start. But I hope that we sang that song with a smile, with the joy of the Lord. Not just a song. That is not just a song. Those are not just words. That is who we are. That should be at least who we are. There is joy and peace in believing the Word of God. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that quickens and reveals the Word to us. We need the fullness of the Holy Spirit to understand the fullness of God's Word. There is a fullness to the Word of God. And that fullness can only be understood as we have the fullness of the author of the book. That's a privilege that we have that you don't have about some of the books that you read. Because you don't know the author. You know who wrote it, maybe. Some book, you know, some man writes. And there might be something you don't quite understand. Well, I suppose if you looked him up on Google, you could find him and call him and say, what do you really mean here? You have the Bible in your hand, and there's things you don't understand. I don't understand. But I know the author. I know the author. And he quickens it to me. John 7, verses 37 through 39. Familiar passage. Drinking, hallelujah, drinking at the fountain of old, dead, stagnant water. Is that what we're drinking? Drinking at the fountain of living waters. Living waters means waters that have life, waters that are flowing, waters that are fresh, waters that are always there. And that's where we're drinking. John 7, verse 37 through 39. Jesus gave this great invitation. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scriptures have said, notice, out of his heart. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Sometimes I get a little excited. And yeah, I do things. Sometimes I say amen. Sometimes I do other things. Hallelujah. But the reason is because there's a river. And it's flowing. And I'm just not strong enough to stop it. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Notice once again, out there is not our effort. It's not we're trying to be happy. It's not like we're trying to do these things. But the power of the Holy Spirit is moving and working. And we want to see more of the working of the Holy Spirit. More of the power of the Spirit. Is not by might and is not by power, but it is by the Holy Spirit. And for that to be accomplished, you and I have to receive that power and allow that power to operate in our lives, in everything that we do, every time that we do anything, wherever we are, may it be out of this heart that the Holy Spirit flows. Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, and you might get wet with the power, the presence, and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. John says he spoke this concerning the Spirit, whom those who believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. I read this portion especially for this phrase, rivers of living water. Rivers of living water. Think back to the first scripture that we used this morning in Psalm 133. And get in your mind this scene. I have often been carried there by the Holy Spirit to this wonderful scene when Aaron was first anointed to be high priest. And there is Moses with a container of oil. And there wasn't any recession at that time where they were, because he poured the whole thing out. You know, if it's a recession, you just kind of save and kind of sprinkle him a little bit. The anointing oil wasn't just sprinkled or allowed to simply drip on Aaron's head. If you don't remember the scripture, go back and read it and allow the Holy Spirit to paint the picture on your heart. It was poured out and allowed to run down his head, onto his beard, flowing down his garments, down to the very edge or the border of his garments. I believe that on that occasion, at that time, Aaron was saturated with the anointing oil. It totally enveloped his entire being. That's what I want. I want my entire being to be enveloped with the power, the presence, and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. And I want that for each one of you that are here this morning. I want that for this place that we are in. This place is nothing but a building. Don't get me wrong. This is just a building. But it's a building that has been dedicated to the service of God. It's been dedicated as a place where you and I can come together in harmony and peace and joy and allow God to do the work that He wants to do in our lives. And I believe that as we enter this building, that we should be able to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit. Like I say, this is just a building. I'm not trying to go further than I should here. So stay with me. I don't want to start worshiping this building, but I do want the Holy Spirit to fill this place with His presence, with the sweetness of His presence, with the power of His presence, so that the Word of God that is given forth will have right away in our lives and take effect. This is the fullness of the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit that controls and fills us to overflowing with joy. As David said, "You anoint my head with oil." And the result is that my cup runs over. It's not so much the fact this morning that we have a cup. It's how full is it? Does your cup run over? As I was thinking on these things, and especially thinking of this morning, the thought came to me, how much the parents that are among us need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to raise their children according to biblical standards in the society that we live in. You don't need a good parenting book. If you have one, that's fine. I'm not knocking it. But that's not really what you need. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to be able to go against the powers of the enemy that are in our society. Let's read Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. This is a wonderful portion of Scripture. Just a small, quick commentary on Christian parenting. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 through 9. These words were quickened to me time and time and time again as a parent. I'm still a parent, but I'm an old parent now. So we don't think of ourselves as parents, but we still are. And these words which I command you today, where shall they be? Where shall they be? Sometimes as Christians, we think the bigger our Bible, the spiritual we are. No, your Bible has nothing to do with it. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. In your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Now, you don't necessarily have to hang a bunch of things on your wall. That's fine if you do. In our house, you will find a plaque, something that Christie did for us years and years ago, painted on a piece of glass with a verse. My favorite verse. And it hangs on the wall. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But once again, that plaque won't do any good if it's not in here. If that's not what I want in my heart, if that isn't how I act every day, that won't do any good. But seek the Lord for the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Allow the Lord to anoint you with the oil of joy. Isaiah 61, verse 3. And I see this is all we're going to be able to do. Well, anyway, Isaiah 61, verse 3. Isaiah 61, verse 3. As we said, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of joy. The Holy Spirit is the person of joy. The Holy Spirit is the oil of joy. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy. The oil of joy. Now, I don't know really what Aaron might have felt that day. To me, I don't know. Have an oil poured on you. I don't know about that. But knowing what it spoke of, knowing what it meant to him, I believe that at that moment, Aaron was filled with joy. It wasn't any ordinary oil that was being poured upon him. That was the anointing oil. That was the oil that God had specified. That was a very special oil. And I believe that as the oil was poured on him, that there was a joy, because it was the oil of joy. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Maybe you've had the thought, and perhaps it's the thought I've conveyed, and all I've said this morning, this is all about you, all about me. Well, certainly we benefit from it. But notice the last phrase, that he may be glorified. I am benefited by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But the end result is that with that anointing, I am better equipped to glorify the one who deserves the glory. The more I yield my life to the power of the Holy Spirit, the more I walk in the Spirit, Yes, the better off I am. But also the more I glorify my Heavenly Father that's in heaven. Psalm 92 and verse 10. Psalm 92, verse 10. Just a couple of more verses. Psalm 92, verse 10. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. That's quite a picture, but we're going to go past that to this last phrase. I have been anointed with fresh oil. I have been anointed with fresh oil. I received the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues when I was 8 years old. That was a few years ago. Like 58 of them. I remember that night. I was full of joy. I was just a kid of 8 years old, but I remember it. And I was full of the joy of the Lord. It's 58 years later. And I need a fresh anointing. Not that the Holy Spirit has not been with me all that time. Not that the Holy Spirit has not been my comfort for all of these 58 years. I have no complaints. I'm not going to complain to you about what I've gone through, because the Holy Spirit has been at my side. The Holy Spirit has been my guide. But I do feel my need of a greater anointing, a fresh anointing. I'm not belittling that anointing, not belittling receiving the Holy Spirit and all the other experiences I've had down through the years. Some of them were with you that are here this morning. But there is a great desire in my heart for a fresh anointing. Not a better anointing. Not a different anointing. But a fresh anointing. Of the same oil with which I was anointed, but I need a fresh anointing. I think perhaps most of us here this morning, perhaps at least the majority, have already experienced the fullness of the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but the question this morning is our joy full? Is our joy full? You don't know what lies ahead tomorrow. You don't know in the world that we're living in what tomorrow and the next day and next week is going to be like. You don't know. You and I need the power of the Spirit more than we've ever needed Him to be able to be faithful until the Lord Jesus comes, because things are not going to get any better. Remember that. But you do have the power of the Spirit. Those living waters still flow. The power is still there. And so is the joy. Perhaps we've become bogged down with trials and afflictions and distresses and simply the cares of this life. We need a fresh anointing that our joy would be full. We need a fresh anointing that our cup of rejoicing would be full and running over. Let's turn to John 15. We'll end this morning with this. And at least we got through three of them. Sorry. We'll end with John 15 and verse 11. The old clock just turns faster and faster every time I'm up here. I think we need to have it checked. John 15 verse 11. Here, Jesus expresses one of his principal desires. This is one of the greatest desires that Jesus expressed, that his disciples would be full of joy. This isn't just my idea. I'm not just trying to make everybody happy. This is God's desire. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, Now notice that my joy may remain in you. Notice whose joy this is. We spoke earlier about a fleeting joy. There is a joy that comes and it just sort of overwhelms you for a while, but it's gone. No. That my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. And that your joy may be full. The Amplified says that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overrunning. That is what I want. That is what I'm asking my Heavenly Father for. That His joy, it's not my joy in the first place, it's His joy, but that joy and gladness may be full of full measure and complete and overflowing. Let's stand this morning and we'll worship the Lord. And I don't know your need, except I think you have the same need I do, of a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let's allow the Lord to work in our lives, to deal with us, if not in this very moment that we are standing together, sometime during the day or sometime during the week. I'm not asking for some great happening to take place at this moment. But I do want you to leave this place with that thought in mind. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. I've never received that experience of joy and blessedness. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Or if you have, renew my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Anoint me with fresh oil. May the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit be upon each and every one of us, that we might indeed enjoy all of these things that we spoke of and didn't get to. But so many things, so many joys that we have as children of God.